We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples talking today with Deputy City Manager Jason Hilgers and Manhattan Mayor Mike Dodson. City Commission meets at 7 o'clock tonight. We're going down the general agenda here tonight, and item B is a consideration of the Kansas Department of Transportation City-State Agreement for K-18 Wildcat Creek Bridge Cost Share. And this is a pretty decent improvement there.
It is. This is a long-awaited improvement for the community. The bridges that go over Wildcat Creek on K-18, Fort Riley Boulevard, near Pulaska, so just real close to the West Side Market there as you move through the community. These bridges are going to be expanded. They're going to be widened. We're going to leverage a 10-foot walking path on the north side with a fence that 'll separate the traffic from the pedestrian. Just yesterday, I was driving through this intersection or over these bridges, and there was a gentleman jogging on the probably about 8 to 10-inch ledge that is on the north side of the bridge. It's just a very precarious place for our pedestrians to cross, and this improvement will alleviate a lot of those safety concerns for the pedestrian, and it'll obviously bring a much-needed improvement to the bridges over Wildcat Creek.
I think we're going to put a 10-foot rather than a normal 6-foot on the north side there, and that'll be very helpful. This side, I think, will close at least one lane of traffic for probably a little over a year, if I remember right. I mean, this is really a significant event in the city. I think when you're up at like Miller Parkway, there's like 31,000 cars a day come through there. And then as you get down where you can turn on Seth Childs, you shed about 10,000 or maybe more. So this is a big traffic flow area for us. And it'll be down to two lanes. They'll do one bridge at a time. It's a separated bridge. And then hopefully we can get that raised up a little bit to take some of the backflow off of the creek when it comes down. And then for those people who are trying to get from west to east, that'll extend the sidewalk, I think, up to, I forget where that sidewalk ends, but it's up near 17th. So people will be able to bike and walk and push baby carriages and so on up there. Right now, as Jason said, this is a dangerous area.
And it's not a relatively expensive endeavor, $69,000. What's that being paid out of?
So we'll pull a majority of this out of the sales tax fund that is supporting trails within the community. And as the mayor mentioned, we'll take that 10-foot path and extend it east up to Westwood, where the hotel is and where the high school turnoff is. And that'll provide that pedestrian connection. There's some fencing that'll separate that sidewalk from the roadway. The majority of this action is really getting those city-state agreements in place. The addition of the sidewalk, widening it, and putting the fencing in place are minor pieces of it, but they're alternates that we're looking to the governing body to make sure they want to do.
Okay. Well, the last item on the agenda here is considering a first reading of an ordinance amending sections of the code regarding public nudity, and this is kind of an interesting topic here.
It is. In 2003, the city established some public nudity ordinances. And when we were regulating sexually oriented businesses in Manhattan, it was a zoning item. And one of the legal constraints of working through that process is to go ahead and define and limit public nudity. The laws in Kansas are a little bit lacking in this regard. Kansas doesn't really address nudity. They clearly address lewd and lascivious behavior, so a lot of the nudity issues are usually related to some sort of activity that is criminal in nature. But just addressing nudity, other cities have struggled to deal with this. You've seen a lot of first-class cities, even Topeka as late as 2015, finally put a public nudity ordinance in place because they were dealing with some certain circumstances with individuals in their community weren't necessarily creating lewd and lascivious behavior, but were nude in public. So what we have come across here is the Tenth Circuit Court, which is a federal court, has come out with some findings and some different cases here of late that really it's on the basis of discrimination, where a male can be topless but a female cannot be. So the court has basically come out and made an opinion that females should be given the same rights there as the male, to where if they're in the public, they're not causing harm. If they choose to go topless, they can. So it's one of these things that we've seen in Colorado, Oklahoma. There have been a lot of protests. There have been a lot of folks acting in this manner and testing the system. This is an action item that the governing body doesn't have to pass this and make this toplessness for both males and females the same. But it does put our officers and our prosecutors in a very odd situation, where you've got a Tenth Circuit court that has come out with an opinion that, quite honestly, the individual, if the female chooses to go topless in a public setting and isn't causing, you know, isn't violating any other state laws, then issuing a citation for that becomes something that could be appealed, and the city could also be sued, given the Tenth Circuit Court's opinion. So this is something that we're bringing to the governing body to make it basically non-discriminatory. We're going to adjust the public nudity. It's been drafted to adjust it to allow females to be topless in public places. This does not address private places or private places of business. Clearly, anybody walks in without a shirt on, that owner can refuse service for that individual at that time. So there's a lot of venues that clearly you can't show up topless, or they will address it. But this is public, so it's something that we're bringing before the governing body to go ahead and make that change. And that will prevent the scenario of the officer or the prosecutor having to take action that is contrary to where the Tenth Circuit Court has come down.
Yeah, this is one of those topics that, at least for me, I'd just as soon not address. But as Jason has very nicely laid out, this is what's before us now. And I think the big one for me that I've been advocate for since I came onto the commission is making sure that we don't put the RCPD in a position that they're trying to enforce the law that isn't going to be upheld. So I think what's going to happen, I think that we just have to make sure that we are in accordance with the Tenth Circuit Court. It isn't finalized yet. Katie Jackson went over this with us in some detail. But if it is finalized, and let's say that the case is not upheld, in other words, that there is a difference between male toplessness and female toplessness, then we can go back to the style of our old ordinance. But in the meantime, we just don't want to put the RCPD in this kind of a position, because it will be tested. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, the City Commission meets tonight, 7 o'clock at City Hall, and those, of course, are broadcast on cityofmhk.com, the Facebook page, and also on Cox Cable Channel 3. Gentlemen, appreciate you coming on here, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Again, Jason Hilgers, Deputy City Manager of the City of Manhattan, and Manhattan Mayor Mike Dodson, our guests here on In Focus. Back after this with Colonel Steven Schrader from the Fort Riley. He's the garrison commander. Back after this.